Stephen Wright. Do you know who that is?
I do not.
He's a very funny, very famous comedian who...
the opposite of Joe.
Yeah.
Burn.
I'm a very not famous, very unfunny, not comedian. So yeah, complete opposite.
Thank you for joining us on another exciting episode of The First Podcast. My name is Lars, main host and editor. I'm joined, as always, with Diamond Mine and Joe.
That's my name.
And we're joined today by a very special guest, Sarah McInerney, joining us through the power of the Mac Internet. Say hello.
Hi, everyone.
Welcome to the show. Thanks for being with us.
Thanks for joining us, Sarah.
Thank you, guys. I'm so glad that we were able to connect through the power of hashtags and Instagram.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. So for people who have no idea who you are, can you explain a little bit about just who you are, what you do, and, you know, where you came from and what your plan is here and just everything about you? Just go ahead.
Oh, wow. Holy cow. Okay. Let me just sketch out my life book. So
try to do it in like three sentences, though.
Okay. Deal.
Like Reader's Digest.
But be very specific about your entire life.
Okay.
Very detailed. But
and emotional, I think, you know.
Yeah. Make Joe cry.
If you could cry, that's all the better.
All right. Okay. Okay. When's the last time you've cried, Joe?
I don't know. I guess the last time I cried was today.
Today?
Yeah, I'm a big, really? I'm big on crying. Yeah, I'm big on cathartic experiences.
What was the cathartic experience, Joe?
I saw a really good dog.
What do you mean by a really good dog?
What makes a really good dog?
It was a really good boy. It was like a yellow lab.
Like it was behaving or? Like...
It was a service animal and it was doing a really good job. Just being a super good boy.
I feel like I would be like, oh, that's nice. Like, I'd be pleased. I don't know if I'd cry.
I'm very open with my emotions.
That's a little bit too much.
I agree. Yeah.
I commend you for that. This is so much, but...
No, just go ahead and introduce yourself. Sorry. We're really...
Just normally how we do the introduction.
Yeah, you're fine. You're fine. Just go ahead.
Normally involves a little cry and...
Joe, let her do the thing.
Okay, so I'm originally from Northwest Indiana, from a small town called Griffith. If you are from the Midwest or Indiana, you know this area as the region. So I am a proud region rat. Yes, this is a thing, and I wear that badge with honor. I went to Ball State University, which is in Muncie, Indiana. It is also known as the Harvard of the Midwest by the one and only David Letterman, so get it right. I graduated in 2014 with a communications degree. And now I live and work in Indianapolis, love Indianapolis, and I work for the Finish Line Youth Foundation, which is the nonprofit arm of Finish Line. We are an athletic retail chain nationwide. I have some awesome goals for myself. I'm finishing up my MBA, so normally this night would be really boring and I'd be doing some studying and reading, but instead I'm talking to you guys, so thanks for spicing up my Monday. And I'm a CrossFit coach, and I'm an aspiring podcaster as well. So super excited to join this community and meet some new peeps into this world that I'm trying to discover.
Yeah, Mondays are usually about as spicy as a plate of ketchup, and I'm glad we could provide that for you.
Yes.
I noticed that you said that you're currently in Indianapolis. Indianapolis has the name Indiana built right in.
It really does. We're efficient.
Is that intentional?
I'm sure it is intentional and also boring because doesn't like a polis mean city?
I don't know enough about etymology to say whether that's true or not, but I'm guessing that's probably the truth. Like,
but to take a step back real quick, you mentioned that you're going to start doing a podcast and you also do a blog. Is that correct?
Correct. Yes.
What's the name of your blog?
The name of my blog right now is, so my website is passionoverpaycheck.org. Fun fact, passionoverpaycheck.com was $10,000 and it's up for auction. I don't have that yet, but maybe one day.
One day. So the blog, maybe tomorrow.
Yeah.
Yeah, after this episode, I think that's what's really going to make it for me.
We think so too.
Great. Thank you Joe for does. Being supportive. So I started the blog just to write. I love writing. I've always enjoyed writing. It's been such a wonderful way for me to digest and then release things. And I've been writing since I was young. I used to do a lot of poems in elementary school. then in high school kind of dropped off, but I was reading a lot. And then in college, I started writing and blogging again when I studied abroad in Ireland and continued that. Yeah, that was awesome. Ireland. I'm Irish, too.
You are. We actually have quite the listener base in Ireland.
No joke.
Oh, that's amazing.
That's not a gag. We actually do have a randomly disproportionate amount of people who listen from Ireland. I don't know why.
6 or 7% of our listens have come
Which
from
seems low, but it's just like one small little Ireland, you know.
How
like,
so freaking that's, cool.
Yeah.
That's Ireland, mostly the city of Dublin, and then also including the city of London.
So, like Sarah, do you speak Irish?
No, I don't, unfortunately.
Oh, okay.
No, I can't say anything. Isn't it called Gaelic, right?
Oh, I was just making a joke about being an ignorant American, but...
No, they do have a little bit of their own language, but it's kind of for insiders only.
No, there's Welsh, but I think that's for just, like, for Wales, and then I think that's about it. I think it's one of those things where it's like it's traditional and they keep it alive just for, you know, the sake of their history. But I don't think they use it formally. I wouldn't know.
No.
But that's just my guess.
Fun fact, Ireland is about the size of Indiana. So
have you ever seen the two of them in the same room? I mean,
I have not.
Yeah. So, you know, what were we talking? Okay. You were talking about doing, you were going to do a podcast yourself.
Yes.
First of all, how dare you? We're the first podcast. We should be the only one. Second of all, what's that podcast going to be about?
It was really intimidating when you're, I don't know, what do you guys call Chris? Employee, co-host, teammate, intern.
Definitely not co-host.
Okay. He does not qualify. But reached out to me on Instagram and I was like, the first podcast? And then I started looking things up and I think you guys said you started in 1970, but there were no airwaves back then. I was
72.
Like, oh, okay, so this is kind of a joke.
The premise of the show name is definitely a joke. It came to me, I'll just explain for listeners who haven't really heard the story
yet. Yeah, I was going to ask you this anyways.
Oh, okay. Well, we can go ahead and take care of that now. Basically, I was working for another podcast as a producer and host for The Talent. It was a clinical psychology podcast. And I appreciated what I was doing from a learning aspect, but... there was virtually no creative freedom. I couldn't make it into something more interesting because it wasn't really mine. I was just hired for it. So I decided I was going to make my own. And the thing is, you know, I didn't really have a brand at that time. So I was just kind of like looking to other, I was looking out into the podcast world, seeing what people would do if they didn't have an actual name. And I came across the idea of like, what if I did something that was just like a goofy one-off joke where like what I was calling it was clearly not the case. Like, you know, like the official Lego podcast or something, or just like something where the joke was that no one would actually believe that was true. So I came up with the idea for the first podcast as it being just like the first podcast ever. And anyone tuning in would be like, well, no, that's obviously not true. But that was kind of the gag.
Yeah. Now they're going to listen.
Yeah. And I really only wanted it to be something that was kind of semi-acknowledged in the first episode.
It was really a placeholder.
Well, placeholder is kind of the wrong word, but it is probably the closest one to it. It was just something.
There's no English word for it. There's only a Gaelic word for it.
Yeah, and I don't speak Gaelish, so yeah, I can't.
I do.
We'll never know.
Yeah, and so
I refuse to translate on principle.
I wanted this to be like a 5-second gag on the first episode, and then Joe was like, "No, let's run with it," and so we. That's kind of the frame of the show.
And here we are, almost 8,000 listens later.
Just for any aspiring podcasts out there, if you guys want to come up with an interesting name, try doing something that's interesting that would get people thinking like, wait, what? I should check this out. This sounds suspicious or I don't know. Just
you want it to be memorable and easy to spell.
The word first is very easy to spell. That's super important.
Yeah. And podcast and the...
It does do a really good job of drawing you in and it makes you question and then you're listening and before you know it, you're like 5 or 6 episodes in. So I commend you guys for that because that's in my transition of taking the blog to a podcast. I'm also struggling with what to name it because I feel like once you name a podcast, it's a lot more permanent than a website or a blog because you can rebrand and change and do all of that. But with a podcast, you would probably have to start all over. So I'm going through that right now, but I have a gut feeling that I think I'm going to ride out.
By the way, that's not true. And I'm not saying that just to disagree with you for no reason. You can rebrand yourself, and people have done it. Like the Nerdist podcast rebranded itself as ID10T, and they were fine.
Oh,
like,
wow.
It can be done. It's difficult, and for that reason, I do recommend that you find a name and stick with it.
Yeah, for sure.
Like Joe and I have had ideas. Like at one point, we almost wanted to switch it to the podcast, but I mean, it's just like,
I remember that.
Yeah, but it's just like not worth it at this point.
No,
that's too general.
Yeah, well, even if we just like the idea of it being too general, just as like a joke, like we've already established ourselves in even in the small way that we have, and it's not worth it. Like,
yeah.
So I would advise against that for any. What are you going to do the show about, by the way?
Yeah, so my blog right now, I kind of have two blogs. One, I write my thoughts on things. Like I've written everything from kind of overcoming a little bit of depression. I had a second knee surgery 2 years ago, and I identify myself as an athlete, and then I lost that title, and it was really hard for me to get over. And so I started personally blogging with that, and then it led into a bunch of different topics. And then my other blog is called Passion Profiles, and that is where I Q&A style interview others who are blazing their own path, following their passion over paycheck, you know, warriors who are doing more of what makes them awesome, and people who are putting their happiness first. And it's been wonderful. But the way that I do it is I have to call these people or FaceTime them, interview them, take notes, you know, review the notes, type it all up again, send it to them. And then I ask them for a photo and post it. And I've just always envisioned these as podcasts, because then you can hear their answer and you can hear their excitement or their anxiety or their fear. And that's what I want to bring to life. And I already have a list of like 40 people in mind, and I'm just like so excited about them. I want to scream and interview them all tomorrow. So I think it definitely is podcast worthy.
That would be easier to do it that way, by the way, where if you conduct the interview, then you can use that interview as the audio. So that's just from a practical standpoint, that's probably a better way to do it.
That's true. And there would be less typing involved, but you can't interview 40 people in one day.
Not with that attitude, Joe.
All right. Okay.
This is not the Stomp on Your Dreams podcast, Joe. This is the encouragement podcast.
You know what, Sarah? Interview 40 people in one day. And then
don't. That's a bad idea, but you can. We believe in you. You can.
No, yeah, that would be impossible.
The joke being that's not exactly what she literally meant.
Yeah. Obviously.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, I too can joke.
And if you have to explain the joke like Joe frequently does, it's not as funny. So
I also frequently go for the awkward fourth and fifth joke in a row.
Oh, yeah. Good comedy comes in threes, and Joe has a knack for the fourth and the fifth.
I really appreciate the fourth and the fifth joke in a row about something.
Sarah, do you want to be my co-host instead so I can just get rid of Joe?
I do, actually. I will take another side hustle on. Right. I'm here for it.
So, okay, we actually had a bunch of Q&A questions from the fans, not our fans. That would be weird to ask our fans questions towards you, but from your fans, which I think you did. It was an Instagram poll today.
Yes, I'm a big fan of Instagram. That is for sure the number one platform that I use the most. So I did a poll for the first time. Well, I guess not a poll, whatever their question box is called.
What is your handle for people who want to follow you there?
Yes, thank you. So my handle is at S-A-R-A-J McInerney, and that's M-C-I-N-E-R-N-E-Y.
By the way, I think there's something in it, in the idea of McInternet in terms of naming something for your, I don't know, like even it's like a segment, because you have like, it's very close to
McInternet podcast.
Yeah, the McInternet puck. I don't know.
People
it's like
think
something.
It's about McDonald's and they won't know.
Yeah, I was just going to say sponsored by McDonald's. There goes my healthy lifestyle.
Well, it's sponsored by it. That doesn't mean you eat it.
Yeah.
It just, yeah.
And then you can
sing their praises. You just, you don't have to
send million-dollar invoices and like maybe they'll pay.
Yeah. That would be great. But it does. Yeah, that's I like this brainstorming, because like I said, I'm kind of struggling with the name right now. Mm-hmm. I do have some ideas, but
or just
maybe I'll add that one to the pot.
You could always do the Sarah McIntyre podcast. And just,
well, that's
like,
not her name, though.
I know,
that's
yeah.
really
your name. And
they're like, oh, yeah, she's like, oh, this is a Sarah McIntyre podcast. That's not my name.
It's about somebody named Sarah McIntyre.
It's my other personality.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Oh, you have multiple personalities?
The one that she switches to at midnight every night and forgets in the morning. Yeah.
So there's Sarah McInerney, there's Sarah McIntyre, Sarah McInternet. this could be a segment. Like, you go over all your different personalities.
I don't think she'd want to do a podcast where she, like, models multiple personality disorder. I don't think that's a good call.
Maybe you can, each one can be a co-host, and
this
sounds horrifying, Joe.
This is good.
Yeah, we just created a whole spider web of things that I have to incorporate into one podcast.
I'm gonna toss one of the fan Q&A at you, and here's one for you. Actually, we kind of just answered that one, so I'm going to do a different one. The question was, what are you envisioning as the purpose behind your podcast that was
purpose in all caps?
But we kind of talked about that a little bit, like you kind of wanted to do a better format for kind of what you're already doing, I guess was my takeaway from it.
You want to talk and to cool people, interviewing them
for
and
sure,
seeing what's on their mind, right?
Yeah, and what's keeping me going, because I do listen to podcasts all the time, and as you know, a lot of them have people who edit for them, or they go to studios that they pay for, and they have all this sponsorship from brand names that we all know. So that's been both motivating to listen to podcasts and get examples and get ideas, but also demotivating because I'm like, when am I ever going to get to that point? But what keeps drawing me back is the purpose of why I want to do it, and it's that I feel like I have a really good ability to surround myself with badass humans, whether that's in work or play or fun or friends or family. And there's so many stories that I want to be able to tell. And like, some of these people are not going to have, well, most of them are not going to have, you know, 10,000, 100,000 followers, but their story deserves to be told. And they're interesting and motivating and different, and they deserve to be told. And I want to be able to do that for them. And that would just mean a lot to me to be able to share it. And how cool for, you know, not your average Joe Schmo, because these people have outstanding life stories, but for someone who's just going about life to suddenly have the opportunity to put that on a podcast. And my podcast is not going to have 10,000 episodes the first, or 10,000 downloads the first week, but I'm giving them an ability to tell their story and reminding them that they're important and that they matter. So that's what's keeping me going with the purpose so far.
I'm going to say something right now, which might sound demotivating. I do not mean it that way at all. I'm going to say that, and this has been said by a lot of people, that when it comes to amount of listeners and such, plan on waiting at least a year before that really picks up. Unless you have like an established like celebrity brand attached to it. That's just something that takes time. And that's not a bad thing. That means that you actually have plenty of time to play with the format, and you don't, it doesn't have to be on point right away. You can experiment and see where it takes you.
Yeah.
Like, I've kind of relished that ability with our show, where, you know, we're actually decently starting to take off at this point, but, you know, just in the meantime, we've been able to experiment with the format, and I think that that has helped us quite a lot. What would you say, Joe?
Yeah, while Lars has been relishing the opportunity, I've been doing a little bit of catch up.
Is that one of the jokes? I like held my breath.
I wouldn't call that much of a joke, but yeah, that's Joe saying words in a certain order.
But yeah, I think that's the other half of it, is that it has to be fun for me too, right? Or I'm not going to come home from work and work on this for 3 hours.
Don't do a podcast unless it's fun for you. Seriously.
Yeah, exactly. And that doesn't. Yes. And that doesn't mean follower numbers to me. You know, like, yeah, it's going to get to my head every once in a while. But for example, I'm already kind of having fun, and I'm only, you know, like 2 weeks into researching this whole journey. But I work with Audacity, and that's what I'm using to edit. So I did a test where I just talked about something for 10 minutes to try to edit it. And I couldn't get the cursor to switch back to the normal cursor. And I like had almost a panic attack and just shut the whole Audacity down. And then the day later, I was on YouTube following a tutorial, and it's a simple click, and I was like laughing at myself. So it's been fun so far, and I think it will continue to be fun. And
are you going
to
edit it for now?
Oh yeah, for sure. I mean, I know that anything you put your, you know, passion and heart towards, you do have to invest money. That's just the world that we live in. Mm-hmm. And I will do that. But for now, yeah, I'm going to learn how to edit. If I'm going to do this, I might as well start from the ground up and really learn the ins and out myself. So, you know, maybe one day that I can hire someone to edit it, I'll know exactly how I want it.
I do want to say one little thing on that note. You do want it to be fun. This is something you're going to put a lot of hours into, and be, like you said, the hours that you're putting into it aren't always going to be fun. Like, you're going to be doing things that are really frustrating. Like, you might lose entire episodes of audio, and it might make you not want to go on for like a small period. Like, oh, that's just so frustrating. I just could, you know, stop doing it all. Like,
we have an episode and a half of lost material, at least at this point.
At least, yeah, like two full episodes, maybe, or
yeah, it happens. You're gonna learn, and it's just something you gotta move past. It's
yeah
it comes for sure.
With the territory.
And we had multiple people ask this next question.
Well, let me put in one more thing about editing just before we move on.
No,
I've muted Joe so I can get my point in. There are some things that are very practical that you, yeah, I like to do that sometimes. There are some very practical tips that I can give for editing, which I'm just going to give to anyone who's listening as well. Just real quick, noise gate your audio. If someone's not talking on their audio track, there needs to be no sound at all. That will make it sound much better. Compress your audio. You'll figure out how to do that. It's one of the options, I think, in Audacity. It makes it sound much more bass and crunchy and more radio friendly. And another one is normalize to 70%. Make sure you do that so that no audio goes above that level. If you can do that, that means the episodes have a consistent audio level. These three things are super important. I highly recommend them to everyone.
Awesome. Thank
you.
And
there are things that big podcasts don't do themselves sometimes. So they're being a bit naughty. If you want to, they can get away with it because they have a little bit more of a viewership. But I recommend anyone starting out, just go research those things. Send me an email if you want me to help you with that a little bit more. There are ways. So, yeah, I'm going to toss it back to Joe. Wait, he's muted. Hold on. All right, you're unmuted.
Do you know about the Snooki character from, what's it called? The
Jersey Shore?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, you know about
that
obnoxious character.
I unfortunately did watch that show back in the day.
And so Snooki, that's her name, right? She apparently has a podcast, and I was listening to it because I was just on Apple Podcasts, like top charts, and she was on the top of the charts, I guess, because she's famous. And it was the most worst, atrocious audio you've ever heard with, like, I guess it sounded like it was in the middle of, like, a windstorm.
Well, that's where they record, so that's fine.
In an open field on a prairie, I guess.
In New Jersey.
You'll see this. You'll start to see this, by the way. You're gonna have the curse of knowledge. Which is kind of like where if you're a doctor, you'll start to learn how everything that can happen that goes wrong with the human body, and you'll start to see things that aren't necessarily there, and you'll be constantly concerned about your health. You're going to see that with podcasts, too, where you're going to be like, oh, this audio sucks.
Yeah.
And just look, you have that to look forward to.
Yeah, I'm trying not to do too much research because then I'm going to hold myself to this level of perfection, which is not realistic. So I'm trying to remind myself that everyone is perfect, including Snooki. You know, how motivational is that?
Right. Well, absolutely.
Especially Snooki.
And yes, she's especially imperfect. That's true.
Especially imperfect.
By the way, you heard our first episode, and I mean, your first episode is going to suck. Not that it's going to be a bad thing, but comparatively, like, our first episode sucks. I mean, it's
all you can do is make it as good as you can, and then everything that you learn along the way is going to make it sound like obsolete. But that's good because you want that to happen. If that doesn't happen and it doesn't get better, then
resist the temptation, by the way, to go remaster your old episodes. That will never end because every week you're going to learn something new about it, and just your audio is going to evolve. Yeah, your audio is going to get better over time.
No way.
Yeah. Anyway, to
one
move
at a time.
On, into the next question that about five people asked separately. What motivates you? And we're going to ask it five different times.
Perfect. Five different ways, though, or I'm
please,
not going to answer.
Yeah, please answer as if your life depended on it.
Yeah, answer all these questions as if your life depends on it.
Yeah.
Well, that's what I'm here for, so.
Yeah.
So what motivates me? There are quite a few things, but one for sure is the people I surround myself with. Like I mentioned earlier, I think I have a really good ability to keep people around me and in my circles that are badass and motivational themselves and doing things. And there are many people who I surround myself with that I see, and I'm looking at them and saying, I want to be more like you. And I think that's really important, because even if it's something as simple as just hanging out or going out to eat, there's something about people that I hang out with. There's at least one characteristic of them where I'm like, I want to be more like you in that way. So that's motivating for sure.
Would you say that you have a superpower to be able to do that? Surround yourself with those people?
I don't know. I was thinking about this question earlier, because it's so easy for people to get caught up in others' negativity or their negative vibes. And there's always people out there like that. And I'm sure I'm someone's negative vibe. You know, what goes around comes around. But I somehow feel like I do a pretty good job of holding myself accountable to just keeping people around me who are great vibes, positive people, and, you know, paving their own path to their own definition of success, for sure. Okay.
I'm going to take a shot in the dark here, by the way. I kind of doubt that anyone, like, just from, like, the 45 minutes of interaction I've had with you so far thinks, oh, well, that she's a really negative influence in my life. Like, that probably does not apply to you. I wouldn't worry about that.
You seem like a positive person.
Maybe we're wrong. I am mostly pretty positive.
Just a little bit, yeah.
I am pretty positive. I think I also wrote about this in one of my blogs that, you know, if you looked behind the scenes, it's not always that way. My boyfriend would tell you otherwise. He is my biggest sounding board. And the poor guy is a school counselor for a full-time job. And he jokes sometimes that he comes home and continues his career with me. But I share a lot with him and, you know, give him a lot of my stresses. And he was here for that night when I was like breaking down over Audacity, and I just shut the whole thing down and it turned out to be nothing. But I am pretty positive because I think I release a lot of what I'm not vibing with or what's not doing me well, whether that's through writing or working out or running or through talking to him or other family members. I try to release that, because if you hold on to it, it just grows and grows.
And I have another slightly different question to kind of throw at you. What motivates you?
I don't think we have time for this gag show. This is
five different people want separate answers.
I think five that different people just creative, got a good Joe. Answer. So, like, I wouldn't. Right. Worry. Yeah, if, you didn't do a good about, job of it.
Sorry, let me rephrase.
No, let me.
What
let's
motivates you?
I do have one other part to what motivates me.
Okay,
and
fine.
It's a more selfish answer, because I think we're all selfish answer. In our own ways. Another thing that motivates me a lot is I'm competitive. So when I see people succeeding, I look at them and I'm like, well, why am I not up there yet? So there's a competitive within me, whether that's through my, you know, athletic adventures or personal or professional adventures. But that competitive fire inside of me also motivates me a lot, because I want to be the best version of myself and I want to know how I can be better.
You want to be the very best like no one ever was?
Yeah.
Do you consider yourself a competitive eater?
No. I can eat a lot, but definitely not competitively. Oh my gosh. So there's this restaurant in Indy that's really famous for its shrimp cocktail, St. Elmo's. And I just saw a Facebook post where they had a competition. And, you know, St. Elmo's comes with that cocktail sauce that's red. And it was just like all over these guys' shirts. And I thought it was disgusting. So no competitive eating. No.
Well, it doesn't have to be shrimp cocktails. I mean, like, you could competitively eat something that didn't look like a massacre.
If you could only eat one thing for the rest of your life, what would it be?
That's not a question from the audience. That's just Joe asking. He's just curious.
Yeah, and separately, the audience wants to know, if you could only eat one thing for the rest of your life, what would it be?
Yes, I have a huge sweet tooth, so that's what I want to say, but that would be awful for me. It would be terrible.
Your teeth are made of sugar cubes?
Well, answer this as if your life depended on it.
All right, hummus and pretzels.
Okay. That's all right. That's
nice, nutritious snack.
Just right off the top of my head, that sounds like it would be a good life.
I would
say. And you get both sides. You know, you get the salty chips with the pretzels, and then you kind of get vegetables with the chickpea and the smoothness. And then I love snacking, so that's just a constant snack.
Chickpeas have protein. There's some fat.
Perfect.
I assume from the.
She's pretzels. Eating them right now. Yeah. Okay, so I'm gonna toss one at you. And I want to lean away from the questions, by the way, after a little bit, because I don't want to turn this into like, oh, well, so what was your favorite color kind of interviews?
We may ask you just some of our traditional hypothetical questions.
Yeah, or we may go off on a tangent. Here's one of the biggest questions from the audience. Can you describe in detail your most embarrassing, sad moment in life?
The audience did ask that. You're right. Okay, I need
didn't
a second.
Come from Lars just now. That was definitely one.
You don't have
the
to
audience.
Answer that. That's just, I don't know.
We should have asked that to Senator Josh Newman.
Yeah. Well, that's kind of rude, though, because I feel like you would think we were implying something about his recall.
Yeah.
Maybe it was not.
He wasn't happy about the recall.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I could not imagine so.
Slightly different vibe.
All right. Well, let's do one more from the audience. Why don't you properly appreciate, and I don't know what that means, but why don't you properly appreciate Justin Timberlake? Don't know what the criteria is for this, but okay, just answer it, I guess.
Why don't you properly appreciate Justin Timberlake?
That was some great voice tone right there. Wow.
Thank you.
This question came from my friend at work, Elijah, who, if this makes it into the podcast that you guys record, he's going to be so stoked. But we went out to lunch recently as a group of friends from work, and he discovered that I'm not the biggest fan of Justin Timberlake, and he loves Justin Timberlake, and I just really wasn't into it, and it really offended him. I grew up as a Backstreet Boys fan, and I'm just not the biggest Justin Timberlake fan. However, what goes around comes around will never get old to me, so I do like that one song by him, but I think he's making me a playlist.
Would you say that between the Backstreet Boys and NSYNC, you want it that away?
I do want it that way.
Thanks, Joe.
That away.
Well, let's clarify. Let's clarify, though. When we say Justin Timberlake, are we talking about Justin Timberlake the singer or the actor?
Or Justin Timberlake the NASA physicist?
the guy who works at Jersey Mike's down the street. No, I'm talking like of the two things that he's famous for.
The sandwich artist Justin Timberlake or mm-hmm. the singer Justin Timberlake?
No, the actor versus the musician.
Okay, so I have to ask a question first. Lars, do you love Jersey Mike's or what? Because on one of your earlier podcasts, you talked about some random dude down the street working at Jersey Mike's.
I think it's just a frame of reference for him.
Yeah, I used to live near one. I wouldn't call myself a huge fan. It was just like that got into my head as, oh, that random place down the street. Like, that's just, yeah, there's nothing to that. I wish there was. I wish there was something interesting, but. You know.
So it has to be the Justin Timberlake as a musician. I don't know much about him elsewhere, and we were talking about music, so I offended him and his love for Justin Timberlake.
Well, I think it'd be kind of hard to watch the movie The Social Network and see his performance as the Napster guy. What was his name again, Joe?
Nappy Napster? I don't know.
Yeah, Nappy Napster. No, what was his name? This is going to bug me now.
Why don't I look it up?
Yeah.
Since Lars can't move on until this is one thing we've learned about Lars. He cannot move on.
No, Sean Parker.
Sean Parker, yeah.
Yeah, perfect. I feel like...
Did you use the Mac internet to look that up?
The McInternet, yeah. The Sarah McInternet.
Yeah, okay. Perfect.
Yeah, not the Mac internet. The Mac is kind of weird. It's that's
how you say my name. It's McInternet. Yeah, it's weird. Not McInternet.
Very weird.
No, we're going to say McInternet. Okay.
McInternet, yeah.
Yeah. So if you watch... I don't know if you've seen that movie or not.
I kind of remember that now that you said the title of it.
If you were to watch that movie, it'd be kind of hard to deny that he's like a talented and good actor who does like, I could not care less about his music at all. But I mean, he's a good actor. So, I mean, I don't know. I feel like it'd be weird to say no that he's bad. But I don't know.
Maybe I'll give him a shot.
Like, why you got to shit talk him? Why do you hate him?
Why don't you properly appreciate him?
Justin Timberlake? I'm starting to see where your friend was coming from, dude. I don't know.
Yeah.
Dude.
Maybe these are the negative vibes that I occasionally put out.
Yeah. Anyway, Joe, let's talk about something other than just like straight Q&A. Let's take advantage of the time. Do you want to ask her some hypotheticals, or should we do some segments, or should we end the phone call right now and forget this ever happened?
No, we can keep going. This is going good. Why don't we ask her the duck question?
We just spent an entire episode on ducks, though.
Okay. And I just listened to that whole episode, and it was a long duck conversation with a lot of math.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Okay, Sarah. Sarah, do you like sports?
I do like sports.
She just got done talking about how competitive of an athlete she is.
Yeah, like what sports you like?
I started with gymnastics when I was younger. I did that until fourth grade, and then I broke my foot, and I did what you're never supposed to do, which is quit on a bad day. and I quit on a bad day. And there was always a small part of me that regretted it. But I had no social life and very small social skills, so I didn't have a lot of friends. And then in middle school, I joined the basketball and volleyball team, loved that. And then in high school, I played soccer for my high school team and club team. And then I played for a year at Ball State, and it was not for me. So I will politely say that I resigned after a year and just worked out on my own. And then I got into CrossFit after graduating, and that's kind of my main jam, although I've gotten more into running and doing triathlons. And this weekend, I'm actually doing a half marathon.
You do any boxing?
Joe, how did you know? That's something I actually never post about, but I do a little bit of boxing.
I could tell.
The place where I work is amazing, and we have wonderful benefits, and they bring in different classes, and one of them is boxing. So I've done a lot of classes in boxing, and it's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun.
I just found out today my cousin was apparently he placed fourth in, nationally for lightweight boxers.
Holy cow, that's amazing.
I had no idea. I didn't. Apparently he was also a captain in the Marines.
Wow, what kind of cousin are you?
I'm the
he's the awkward type dorky B, one. Yeah,
awkward type B cousin that is an underachiever and has partial hopes of one day getting a master's in something.
Education-wise or like a black belt master situation?
No, Joe's education. Not the sports kind of guy. Don't yeah.
No,
don't
I am. I've ridden
Joe has
my
never
bike
actually played a sport in his life, I don't think.
No, I've done sports. I really like riding my bike. I used to ride
Name
my bike
one
every day.
One sport that you've ever played.
I did wrestling in high school.
You quit
drama
in like a week, though. That doesn't... Drama's not... Oh, my God. Drama's not a sport.
I did mock trial club.
With Jay Reinhold.
I used to run. I would ride my bike like up to 60 miles in one go, you know, burn like 2,500.
That's intense.
Thank you. Yeah. That's without even stopping. That's just 5 hours of straight riding.
I was going to say, that is well over like 2-3 hours to get that done. I think the furthest I've ridden is 40 miles, and I was so done at the end of it. My boyfriend's a big cycler. He does a 160-mile race every summer. How insane is that?
Speaking of insane, I thought you were going to say, like, when you first started saying that, I thought you were saying like, oh, yeah, my boyfriend's a huge psycho. Like, I thought
you were going to say that, too.
So yeah. You guys want to hear this insane story?
Yeah.
I came on this podcast to release my emotions about our relationship, so.
This is therapy.
He's going to wake up to that.
Yeah. All right. Well.
Well,
don't come after us.
I don't. Yeah, no,
oh,
she
I
didn't,
do have.
She didn't deny it.
No, he's well, definitely not. Well, if anyone is crazier in the relationship, it's me. But and I will proudly take that because I think when you're, you know, doing a lot of different things, there is a little bit of crazy within you. But I wanted to say one last thing on the sports topic. You guys asked me if I had a superpower, and I think everybody has their own superpower and may even have multiple, but I think my physical one is, for some reason, even though I quit gymnastics when I was, you know, what are you in fourth grade? 9, 10, 11. To this day, I'm now 27. I can hold a handstand just in the middle of a room for a minute, and I can walk at least the length of a basketball court. And I don't really credit that to my own strength. I think it's a lot of muscle memory, but that's probably my physical superhero ability.
That's, you know what, Joe? I think that might qualify as a somewhat useless superpower.
I agree.
Because it's nice, it's cool, but yeah, we do that segment
we
a lot.
Do a useless superpower
you kind of just,
segment.
You kind of just brought up your own useless superpower, because it's like, it's nice, but it doesn't really get you much.
I have similar superpower that I kind
Let's
of attribute to muscle memory from fourth grade as well, which is that I can do a handstand that results in me falling down on my head and hurting myself and the people around me.
What's impressive is
whenever
that
I want, I can just
what's
do
impressive
this.
Is to do like a, like to start with a headstand, like you have to start on your head. So to land on your head must be somewhat difficult. Like
handstand. Hand.
Oh, okay.
A hand.
I thought you were saying like doing a headstand and somehow injuring your head. I felt like that was like the least likely
Shut
scenario.
Up, Lars.
All right.
Shut
buddy.
Up.
So
it's his own sport.
Sorry. That was over the top.
That's Joe's one sport is falling down from a handstand.
Injuring myself
and hurting
the
people
around
him. Yeah, don't forget that.
Actually,
that
my other
useless
superpower, if I had to choose, it would be the ability to put my thumb in my mouth and blow really hard and change my innie to an outie.
Well, yeah, I can't imagine a single...
Yeah, when would that come in handy? But you could go up to people and say, hey, look what I can do, and go...
Joe, that's just the power to alienate people. That's not useful at all.
Okay, but Joe, if we tag team, you could just walk up and do that, and then I'll stand on my hands, and their world would be flipped upside down.
Oh, I thought you meant tag team as in, like, if you guys both had that power and you guys would, like, sword fight.
Okay. No. It was pretty clear that wasn't what she meant.
Okay.
Yeah, no.
But I thought maybe what you meant was like you would do your hand walking thing and I would do my belly button thing and then we would have like an upside down hat in front of us and people would put money in it. And
we're,
this
also
is all
that,
happening
we are,
on like a street corner.
We are out here to hustle.
Yes.
So.
I'm going to let you guys, leave you guys to that. I have no interest in this this little tag team. But yeah, that's right. Nice. Oh, I guess I should give it a useless superpower, since I
you should. I was gonna ask you
didn't contribute. I just got off of an 8-hour shift. My brain isn't working. Let's circle back to this. I'll give a good answer by the end of the episode.
Okay.
Yeah.
What would Sarah, if you could go back to medieval Europe, the times of old, and you had to choose something to do to support yourself financially, what would it be? And no superpowers, no magic, just you have to choose some profession that would have been possible in that time period, like medieval Europe.
Okay. Medieval Europe.
Like, do you want to hear what mine was?
Yeah, sure.
I would have been egg farming Joe. Just an
egg farmer.
An egg farmer, yeah. Sell my egg.
So are you dealing with the chickens?
Yeah. Yep.
Okay.
I got chickens. I got a farm. I'm egg farming Joe.
All right. So animals, I'm not the biggest animal lover, and I have a situation behind that. But so I would not want to do anything with animals. I don't hate them. I just am like not the person who's going to go pet a random dog. But so mine would probably be I love hiking and being alone. And if I had the skills and someone taught me, you know, because apprenticeship, it was not a big thing back in the day and still is now in business, but if someone could teach me to like hunt and gather, that's what I would want to do. Or work in a shop that turns, when I think of medieval, all I think of is women wearing dresses and then being in sword fights, which is not efficient. I would love to be the entrepreneur who like invents the yoga pants of the medieval times, so these badass women can do their thing comfortably and efficiently.
Do you know anything about like fabrics or like creation of clothes though? Because you kind of need a little bit of a background in that.
Well, that's where the apprenticeship.
Well, I would get exactly.
Haven't you been paying attention, Lars?
No, not really. Because someone's being loud outside, so I'm kind of trying to like quell that. Sorry.
Well, if you were listening, Lars, you would know that she said that she would do an apprenticeship and she would transform medieval Europe into a yoga pants wearing Europe. Do you think the world was ready for yoga pants back then?
Definitely not. I don't think so.
I think they were too puritanical.
Yeah, I don't think they were ready for women's ankles yet at that point. So
no,
I don't know.
let yeah, alone exactly. like a skin-tight, form-fitting pant, no matter how practical and comfortable.
Chris has sent something to the Discord chat in which he said, yo goop. I don't know what he means by
Thank
that.
Thank you, Chris. Thank
He's
you
branding for me.
All right. Okay.
Yogurt?
What?
Medieval yogoop? Yoga? What are you trying to say, Chris?
Chris, are you having a stroke?
Oh, my goodness.
Valid question.
By the way, this is being recorded live on Discord right now. We'll edit it down, obviously, as always. But if the audience does want to participate by listening in or just hanging out with us on Discord, we'll put the link to that in the episode description. It's a fun way to interact with the guests and the hosts, as well as hang out with some of the regulars, like Uncle Tej.
And that link that we put in the description, it's discord.gg/capitalM, capital G, lowercase g, capital H, capital U, lowercase p.
Can we use that as a sound clip? I'm just going to insert that from now on. That's great.
That
you did that really
good.
Well. Yeah. Usually he's just clear. Like, M, X, no. So that's like a, that's one, actually two, a solid read through. Yeah, he throws like a bunch of like threes in there that don't belong. Yeah.
I'm on okay. my game.
You never really answered, by the way, what your most embarrassing and sad moment of all time was. Are we going to get that out of you or not?
Actually, I do have a story, and it's definitely more sad. It's also embarrassing.
You don't have to tell it if you want
to. No, you
to.
Do.
No, I it's don't legally care. Binding. It was from elementary school, and it's kind of tells about my personality. So it must have been fifth or sixth grade, and we had the pickup loop, you know, like the cars come to pick you up, yes. and they go around in a loop, and they leave. And it was cold out, and it was really icy, and I was just standing there by myself. I don't know where my siblings were, because I'm one of four, so I'm sure they were somewhere around
school.
Are you
the youngest?
But I'm the oldest. Mm-hmm. And I was kicking around ice on the ground, and this jackass of a kid who was just such a pain in the class all the time, constantly getting in trouble just for fun, was laying on the ground. Who knows why? It's freezing. It's Indiana. It's so cold. Laying on the ground, and I'm kicking this ice around, not really paying attention, and I kick a piece, and it hits him right in the lip and immediately starts bleeding. So I'm petrified, and I was such a nervous, kind of shy kid, so I didn't say anything or do anything, and I just stood there and kind of watched as he was like, where the hell did that come from, and am I going to die? And then some official came over, and I was really scared of authority when I was younger, and I just froze, and nobody knew I did it, and it was awful, and I felt so bad.
But you got away
so
with it.
So that's my embarrassing story. That made me sad.
That's not bad. Yeah,
what,
I mean...
Do you have, like a horror story?
Yeah, I think Joe
dating?
Tops that on a daily basis in terms of embarrassment. Like, that's that's pretty G-rated. That's good, though. That's the worst.
That was a good one. That was entertaining to hear. I thought you were going to say you were kicking ice on the ground and he was laying down and you kicked him in the face or something.
Or that he died. Or...
No, I was sneaky. No. I kicked him with a piece of ice.
You were,
and then
you
I
were,
never
I
owned up
say,
to
like,
it.
You were wearing your roller skates, your ice skates and like kicked him in the face.
Oh, wow. Jeez. Just really sliced him.
I thought
he
that's
so
where...
morbid.
All right, let's move on.
That's what she was hoping for, but yeah, no, that didn't happen. Okay.
All right.
So I have a useless superpower, I think.
Yay.
And should I give it or?
Yeah, that was a yay. That was a positive. Oh, go okay. for it.
So it would be the ability to understand any language in the world, but very poorly.
Ooh.
You could understand what they're saying, but just like in a way that was probably incorrect.
What about the ability to ask questions in other languages, but only convey sort of what you wanted to?
Ooh, what if you had the ability to ask questions in other languages perfectly, but you could not understand the answers.
That about levels with the first suggestion, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. you can ask questions, but you can never understand the answers. That's
the ability to speak, to like understand other languages perfectly, but only when you're listening to music, not when you're talking to people.
Oh yeah, only when it's inconvenient to listen to. So you're like, that's a good one.
Like if somebody
these
says
are good
to
ones
you, like,
for sure.
C'est la vie. I think I heard that in a song before, and like you listen to the song, you find it, and like, oh, that's what that means because it's,
it means
like,
such
as
life, Joe.
Song.
It means that's life, Joe.
I know.
By the way, oh.
Comment allez-vous?
Do you actually are you just saying stuff that you picked up through cultural osmosis,
no,
or do you
I'm
actually know French?
You, I'm actually talking to you in French.
You're asking me how I'm doing, and you're asking if I speak French.
And then I'm going to tell you my name is Joe.
Je m'appelle Joe. Is what you're going to say?
Yeah.
Okay.
That was pretty good.
Thanks for the French lesson.
I used to live in Paris.
That's not true
at
all.
Yeah, I lived there for 4 days last year.
Well, that doesn't count.
Yes, it does.
That's not true at all.
I lived in London for 4 days, and then I lived in Paris for 4 days and an Airbnb. And then
we lived in a lot of the same places. How crazy is this? I have also, quote, lived in Paris and London.
You don't have to indulge him, by the way, Sarah. Like, you can just
you
let
do.
His joke die.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate it. And I also then lived in Germany in a city called Stuttgart for 12 days in my friend's apartment.
Let's move on. I have a question for you. So you say you listen to a lot of podcasts, right?
Yes.
Okay, what is your favorite podcast, and why is it the first podcast?
What is my favorite podcast, and why is it the first podcast?
Yeah, why are we your favorite? Just go ahead and The listeners probably
want to
know.
Well, first of all, you're definitely my favorite because no joke, not even trying to suck up to you guys at all. But I've always wanted to be on a podcast. And so this is definitely a dream come true for me. And so I'm really excited about that.
Sarah McInerney's favorite podcast is the first podcast.
Yeah. That's a high praise.
And I really, honestly, so I'm a big font person. I love fonts. I'm kind of a font nerd. And I really like the font that you guys use for your logo. And I like your logo a lot.
Thank you.
Okay, so first of all, thank you.
I feel like there's a backstory.
First of all, thank you. But
who just won an argument? So
if you ever go to Burger King, you that's their font.
Really? Burger King? Wait, that has to be like a rebrand as of recently. Oh, shit.
Yeah,
look
yeah.
Look at that.
Really? I did not know that. I'm going to look it up right now.
Yeah, it's called Insana Burger with Cheese. Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. It totally is their font.
It worked really well. I was just like going through different font choices.
Oh, my God. It's the same font.
Are we allowed to do that? Yes, I'm so happy that Joe is finding this out,
too. Yeah, dude, it's a generic, it's a generic version of it.
You can buy fonts, yeah.
Yeah.
That is so funny. I'm like going back and forth. That's
crazy.
Yeah, you can see it. Like, you can't unsee it now. I thought I told you that, Joe, but I guess not.
I forgot.
But yours is it's not italic, so it's definitely different in that way.
Yeah. I chose it because, honestly, I think they probably chose that font for a similar reason, which is it's simple and it's clean.
They stole
it. Sans serif.
They stole the font also from a different place.
Well, no one steals it. You just use fonts that you buy. I mean,
from the McInternet.
Yeah.
If they use Times New Roman, no one else can use Times New Roman. They're already using it.
Well, we were the first ones to use Times New Roman, but we kind of figured that would be a useful font for people, so we told them they would be okay. So that's why that's uncommon usage.
Okay. That's super generous.
Here's another one from the audience.
Yeah, let's ask at least one more.
What motivates you? Since 5 different people did ask, we do need to go over it multiple.
We don't, but
I do have another one, and it's funny-er. It's not as serious. Another thing that motivates me is I love sweets and eating that kind of stuff. Bread. Cookies. I had a cinnamon roll today.
I guess bread is kind of sweet.
But bread makes you fat.
Yeah, exactly.
Bread
so
makes you fat.
I work out bread a lot makes you to fat? Offset that.
Bread makes you fat?
Have you ever seen Scott Pilgrim?
It's actually a really good garlic bread. Garlic bread is my favorite food. I could honestly eat it for every meal or just eat it all the time without even stopping.
You get fat.
No, why would I get fat?
Bread makes you fat.
Bread makes you fat?
No.
Makes you fat?
Oh, you won't understand that reference. That's my favorite movie of all time, by far.
Oh,
I highly recommend you watch it.
Good movie.
Yeah.
Good.
I'm pretty opinionated with that kind of stuff. It is a really good movie, just objectively. Speaking of which, we're also going to be reviewing with another guest very soon the worst movie of all time. It's called Shark Exorcist. It is legitimately, and I say this as someone who's actually somewhat of a cinephile and has watched thousands of movies over the years, it is the worst movie I have ever seen in my entire life, and it is the worst movie I've seen in my entire life by a very wide margin.
Wow.
It's just dreadful.
And it makes almost nothing of an impression on you because we watched it, and the next day I didn't even recall that I had seen it. Somebody had mentioned Shark Exorcist, and I was like, that sounds familiar. And then I was like, wait a second. I had like vague memories that I had seen it, and it was only the day before, but I remembered that we had watched it, and I did not remember what it was about or anything at
all. Joe, when you rewatch it, make sure to take notes, because you're going to need them. It's a movie that has no plot, it has no characters, it has no structure. It has no events. It tries to do all these things.
Nothing happens, basically.
There's a shark.
It does not look good.
There's a
no
shark that's
a
villain.
There's no point B.
Some of the shots include a guy running for 5 minutes. That's just it. It's something. I don't recommend
people... Well, I'm definitely
people...
not watching that because when I was younger, I have another embarrassing story. In third grade, the cool girl had a sleepover at a hotel for her birthday, which is all fun and games. And the movie that she wanted to watch was the OG Exorcist.
Oh.
And I was like, nah, I'm cool. I can handle it. My parents, when they dropped me off, were like, oh, they said that you guys were going to watch a scary movie. Like, call us if you want to leave. And I was like, definitely not. I'm here for this. Oh, no. It scarred me for life. Seriously, we were in about third grade. So it was life changing. But I never watched another scary movie until high school. And all of a sudden, my friends and I became obsessed with the Saw series. So that's how I got back into watching scary movies, which I still don't really watch them that often. But I'll never, ever, ever watch The Exorcist, any form of it ever again. So, and definitely not The Shark Exorcist.
Yeah, and to be clear, although I understand where you're coming from, this is not related to The Exorcist movie in any way whatsoever.
Oh, no.
I don't think it's even trying to be. I think the why they called it Shark Exorcist is because there's an evil shark and there's an exorcist. And those are two characters.
Yeah, I don't even remember if they ever interact with each other.
It's not even like a good title either. Like, it's an awkward way to put that. Like, it's not an exorcist that's a shark. There's a shark and there's an exorcist.
Yeah, it's like if there was a movie called Tornado Planet. And the planet is Jupiter, and the tornadoes on Earth, and they're not just unrelated entirely to do with each other.
They're not related.
I don't think they faced off at all. No. I don't think that was. I think the final
scene might have been like the shark eating the exorcist or something. I don't remember.
There was a post-credit scene.
It wouldn't surprise me if that was like the only interaction.
Let's ask one last question off of the list, by the way, and I think this is actually a good ending question specifically. Suppose your listeners to your new podcast, the readers of your blog, and just fans of you in general on Instagram Instagram, what would you recommend if they're still trying to find their purpose/passion?
I would recommend that it depends, I guess, what age you are, but there are always things you have to do throughout life. So when you're younger, you have to go to school. When you're older, you have to get a job. And you always, hopefully, will have, you know, friends and family outside of that and some kind of exercise. I definitely believe in everyone needs to exercise in some way, some shape, some form. But outside of all of that, so outside of your profession.
Would you mind if I took a quick second here and maybe gave you like a parameter to work with? Let's say, because this is a common one. Let's say you have someone who's just graduated college.
Yes.
And this is a typical problem at this age.
It is. This is what I talk about a lot, too, when I do my speaking. And I love speaking to college students. I just feel like I relate to them so much. But can I give my own example of how I did this and then kind of go off of that?
No,
make it not realistic.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, go for it.
Oh, yeah, of course.
So when I was a senior, this is how the whole passion over paycheck thing came to life. So when I was a senior, I'm very type A, very planned out. I want to know what's going to happen. I applied for a lot of jobs, did not get a lot of job offers, which was definitely hurtful. But another tip there for any college kids listening, do not take it personally. They missed out. You will find another opportunity.
Wait, what?
So
what was that?
When
last part?
She's saying that if people didn't hire you, it's their loss.
Yeah. I agree. If a job doesn't hire you, move on. Look for the next one that will.
Mm. Yes. Exactly. And don't take it personally, because you start to take it personally and then you really get down on yourself. But so at the end of my senior year, I came down to being offered an internship or being offered a full-time job. I had done a lot of, you know, stuff on campus, organizations, part-time jobs, and then a few internships, of course, throughout my time in college. And so I wanted a job really badly. I wanted a salary, I wanted benefits, insurance, all of that. And so the job was totally checking off everything in my head. But the internship totally had my heart and what I thought I would be really great at, which is one of my tips for people who are looking for their passion, is to do more of what makes you awesome. And for me, the internship would have been something I could have been awesome at. And it was event planning and working with a nonprofit. And the job, while it checked off everything in my head, just did not have that heart piece with it.
What kind of job
was it? It was to be a marketing specialist for a freight logistics company. So a mouthful.
A marketing
specialist.
Marketing job for a freight logistics company? You said marketing?
Yes.
Social media
marketing? Marketing specialist.
Like email marketing?
Yeah. Both. All of it. They were a small company at the time. They've now actually grown and one of my friends works for them and she loves it. So more power to her.
It's probably a good thing you didn't take the job because it sounds like a lot of work and not a lot of direction usually when it's like,
yeah, exactly. And they were pretty young too. So I think we're going to let me lead more than my little college education self could have done, but they were wonderful people for sure. And like I said, their business is doing really well today. So props to them.
That's good.
The internship was with Finish Line actually. So no surprise there, but my story after college starts right away with Finish Line, which is where I still am. And it was for the Youth Foundation, like I said, is the nonprofit. The only problem with this decision is that the job was the job and it was solidified and, you know, written in concrete. The internship, they had told me in my interview, you could be the best intern we've ever had, but we are not going to hire you at the end of this. And like I mentioned, I'm type A and that's not what you want to hear. I want to know a plan. I want to know where I'm going to be at the end of 3 months. So I really struggled with this decision. And it was, again, like coming back to the people I surround myself with, it was professors and staff members and my college friends and family who encouraged me to follow my heart over following my head. And so I went with the internship and turned down the full-time job, which, you know, of course, parents and I remember my grandparents were not too pleased. But again, another tip that I have for people looking for their passion is to put your happiness first. You will almost never regret that.
That's what I did. Girl.
Exactly.
By the way, John F. Kennedy, he was famous for saying something very similar to what you said, which is he himself acknowledged that he was very intelligent. I think he had several advanced degrees or what have you, or at, you know, family and politics and a very high reaching family. Like everybody in his family, it was like, if you're going to be a priest, you want to be the Pope. If you're going to go into politics, you want to be the president. That kind of thing is very much type A. And he was known to surround himself with people who were even smarter than he was. You know, his advisors were all these experts in their field, like extremely, extremely intelligent. And so that's kind of exactly what you're saying, where you would surround yourself with people who were very intelligent.
Oh, hey, Joe, by the way, I looked that up and I don't think he had multiple degrees, but I mean, he did get a BA from Harvard.
That was just an assumption. But yeah, a degree,
what I'm saying is like, yeah, he was educated and intelligent.
Thank you for fact checking, by the way.
Yeah. I appreciate that's true. That's true.
That's what he's here for.
That's actually what Chris is here for. So Chris,
get on the ball.
Yeah.
He's slacking. But yeah, I totally believe in that too, very strongly, that you should almost never be the smartest person in a room. And if you are, you probably need to be somewhere else. I actually wrote a blog about that and it's called When You're Not the Smartest Person in the Room, where I discuss that, which is a whole other topic, but I totally believe in that too. So upon graduation, I made this decision to go with the internship, and at Ball State, we all decorate our caps, you know, to make them personalized. And I was sitting there trying to figure out what I wanted to say, and it just kind of came to me, and I wrote Passion Over Paycheck, and that's kind of been the mantra that I have led my personal and professional life with since then. And so if I had to wrap up the original question, which is what advice would you give to people who are still trying to find their purpose or passion, it's to do three things. One, to always put your happiness first. Like we said, it's your life and you got to wake up with you every day. So put you first. It is totally worth it. Two, do more of what makes you awesome. I remember when I was a junior in college, I was a part of this organization and I loved it. And I was looking into my senior year and figuring out what I wanted to do. And I decided to give myself a break and I let go of the organization. And I got to do other things that made me awesome. So, you know, drop some stuff that you don't really give a shit about anymore. It's just bringing you down. So do more things that make you awesome. And then the third one is to follow your passion over a paycheck. And nowadays, when I say this, I say it with an asterisk because let's be real, we all need to eat. I am not advising you to go down the rabbit hole of unpaid internships or apprenticeships that don't pay, like get paid.
Yeah, where you
know
have to go
worth.
Down rabbit holes just to find food. Yeah.
Would you recommend also that to the people listening to get a sugar mama or sugar daddy so that they're able to pursue their passion?
No, only if you love them. Sorry. That's only going to take you so far, you know. That goes back to you got to look out for you. So if you lose that person, who's gonna hold up your expensive lifestyle? But
yeah,
follow your passion over a paycheck.
If they happen to bring the sugar, that's fine.
Yeah.
Anyway.
That can only lead you in the right direction because there's going to be a lot of temptations out there in the real world, and you may think that it is one thing when it's not. And looking back on it, you would much rather spend 40 hours of your week, which is a lot of time, doing something you actually care about rather than, you know, just going through the grind every day doing something that you really don't care about. So,
and I would,
those are my three things.
Thank you for answering that in a very succinct, organized manner.
You're welcome. Type
in. Unlike the way that Joe talks.
Unlike the way that I talk, it's a very unorganized mess. But I was just have one last thing to say in regards to that, that I think is kind of, I would assume that following your passion will eventually lead to probably even more money financially in the long run, because if you're passionate about it, you're going to be really, really good at it. And if you're really good at something and there's not many other people who are really good at it, no matter what it is, there's probably a market for it, since there's markets for like almost anything.
Yes, so, I'm so glad that you brought that up, because I actually want to finish my story. So I did the internship, loved it. It was great. They stuck to their word, did not hire me. Fortunately,
they stuck to their word.
Yeah, you know, they're honest people.
Just kidding, go on.
I was in the, what is the saying, when luck meets opportunity, or shit, no, when preparation meets opportunity, there's luck, or something like that. There's some saying with those three words, but
it's a little bit more eloquent, but yeah,
luck meets opportunity,
that's the idea.
You have success?
No,
yeah, but I don't.
Luck is
Chris,
preparation
where you at?
Meeting opportunity is the saying.
Yes. Thank you. Lars nailed it.
What was it?
Because
again?
I don't.
What was it, Lars?
It's luck being preparation meeting opportunity.
Okay.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's it.
All right.
Because one of my best friends is a big believer in that people aren't just lucky. Stuff doesn't just fall into your lap. Doors don't just open for you, which I totally believe. You have to go open doors on your own. And so throughout
the
internship.
But... like that's my superpower, but yeah that's, I know what you mean.
I think my superpower is honestly being really lucky. Like sometimes I'm just in the right place at the right time, and I just have like
his preparation meets his opportunity,
right?
Yeah, and your brain got you to that right room.
Well, that's true. But, that's true. I guess I was prepared, and then an opportunity happened.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So one of my really good friends does not believe in luck at all, and I totally feel her on this as well. That people just don't turn out to be successful because they thought it up one day, did nothing about it, and just happened. So when I was in the internship, I networked my ass off, for lack of better terms, and met with anybody throughout the business. It's our corporate headquarters where I work. So there's, you know, everything from merchandisers to supply chain to customer care to distribution center. There's a lot of diverse employees and jobs there. So I really learned the business in a few different ways. And then at the end of the internship, a position full-time did open on a different team. So I worked on corporate communications for 9 months. And then this is where passion turns into a paycheck. The Youth Foundation opened a position almost a year after I was at Finish Line. And I have been working my dream job ever since. And it has definitely turned into quite a few paychecks. So yeah, just keep following what your happy and passionate and excited and energetic about, and it will eventually lead into a paycheck. And I mean, you guys can probably say that yourselves. You've built this incredible podcast, the first podcast ever, might I add. Mm-hmm. And now you have all these amazing guests who are artists and politicians. And then, you know, every once in a while you decide to bring on someone like me. So I appreciate what you guys are doing. And I think you're definitely turning your passions into a paycheck for sure.
Notice the subtle compliment to herself at the end there. Like, oh, you have all these really cool people, including me.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know.
All right. So if someone wanted to dig a little bit deeper into some of the stuff you're talking about and they wanted to consume your content, how would they go about doing that online?
Yeah. So find me on Instagram at Sarah, S-A-R-A-J, McInerney, M-C-I-N-E-R-N-E-Y. I'm on Facebook and Twitter as well. And then my website, as of now, I'm actually thinking about changing my website to my name rather than what it is. But right now, my website is passionoverpaycheck.org.
I'm thinking of changing it to your name, too. That's a good idea.
Thanks.
And if we want to go ahead and sign ourselves off, this has been the first podcast. My name is Lars, and I'm the main host and editor on this podcast. And with me, as always, is Joe.
Hi.
Hi, Joe. And if you want to... Okay. If you want to find our links out there. We have a link tree, which Sarah, I highly recommend you get at some point. Very useful. It has all of our social media links.
Yes, I have seen that.
It's
linktr.ee/t1podcast.
There you can find our social media links, a link to our channel, a link to our channel on all major platforms like Apple Podcasts, iTunes, Spotify, iHeartRadio for some reason, I think. I don't know.
Google Play.
It's out there.
If you do want to send us an email, firstpodcastever@gmail.com.
Sarah, I want to go ahead and close out the episode with a quick lightning round. Just answer these questions as quick as you can. Don't give too much thought to them, okay?
All right, ready.
Okay. From 1 to 10, how hot do you like your shower water?
7.
All right, number 2. Make a high-pitched sound.
Eee!
All right, that's all. Thank you.